Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf ches. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara begins, Ikka di Amri. To understand this properly, we should preferably go over the last tickle. That last tickle started three lines before the wide lines. The Gemara tells us a person can be Mekadish, a woman with Shiroi. Shiroi means with silken garments. Now, the fact that you can go and be Mekadish, a woman with silk, is not such a gross chiddush, because we already had in our Mishnah, you can be Mekadish as a Isha b'kesef, or b'shav b'kesef. The Ikar chiddush of our Gemara is, do you have to know the value of the shav b'kesef when you're being Mekadish as a Isha? Clearly, when you're giving kesef, you know how much you're giving, and she knows how much she is receiving. The dollar bill says a dollar, or the silver coin says it's $5, or whatever. She knows exactly what she's getting. However, if you're giving her shiroi, she doesn't know whether shiroi is worth $5, $50, or $500. So that's the discussion. Tukti one, Ha'u Gavra, three lines before the wide lines on Zayin Amud Beis. Ha'u Gavra, the Akdish B'shiroi. There was a chosen that gave to his kala shiroi, silken garments, as shava kesef. Rabba Amalei Tzrichi Shuma. You don't have to go and send the shiroi to the shiroi appraisal society prior to the chasana. It works without that. No, you gotta know exactly how much it's worth. Obviously the chiddush over here is Rabbi Yosef that says you have to have shuma. So now the Gemara wants to know exactly what's the case. If when he gave it a shiroi, he says koldu, now koldu really means a nothing, like a zero. However, Rashi says koldu over here really means kemoy shehein. Kemoy shehein is when you're doing a real estate deal, you throw in as is. I'm not giving you any representations as or warranties as to the quality, the quantity, the age, the usefulness. All I'm telling you is you take it as is. Here too, Ida Amulah koldu. If he says to her, I'm giving you the shiroi as it is, you don't need a shuma because she sees it. And even if it's only worth, she knows it's worth at least a shava pruta, so it may not be worth $50, it may not be worth $100, but if it's worth a quarter, it's a shangit. So everybody agrees you don't need shuma. If he says, I'm giving you shiroi, and then she says to him, my dear chusin, how much are these shiroi worth? And he says, it's worth $50. And it turns out, subsequent to the Eirusin, subsequent towards the marriage, she goes to the appraisal society, and they say that in fact it's only worth $40. No, halei shavu. If that's the case, then the kedushin was not a good kedushin, because it was if it was a condition built in. I am giving you, and she is saying, I'm accepting from you this kedushin, if in fact it's worth 50. But if it's only worth 40, I never agreed. Zokti Mara, Saki please, who is the machlaikis? Tiyom chamshin b'shavu chamshin. That he gave her $50 worth of silk. And in fact, after the chasana was over, then she took it to the American Appraisal Society, and they told her, yeah, this silk is worth 50. Oh, Rabba Amalei Tzrichi Shuma, d'shavu chamshin. I told you it was worth 50, and it was worth 50. You don't have to have an official appraisal certificate that it's worth 50. It was worth 50. Says Rabba, the kiddushin was chal. No. At the time that he gives her the shiroi, she's entitled to get an appraisal certificate. Why? Because kim de itzle b'kim b'shuma, since women are not typically out there in the marketplace buying and selling silk, so they don't know how much it's really worth. If she hears from a chusin it's worth 50, is it really worth 50? I'm not so sure. I don't really know. And therefore, when he gives her the shiroi as the kesef kedushin, she might not be samachda, she may not accept it. She still has her doubts, yes, no, maybe so. And therefore, that's why Rav Yosef requires there to be a shuma. So we already learned this yesterday. Kum techois, the reason why Rav Yosef requires shuma is in those circumstances where she does not know how to appraise or assess the value of the kesef kedushin or the shava kesef kedushin. We want her smichas das Because as you recall, when it comes to Kiddushin, you cannot be Mekadosh as a Isha Bal Karcha. You have to have her consent. Well, her consent here is based on her assumption that this Shiroi is worth the $50. But if it's not worth $50, she's not masking. That's why you have to have that Shuma. But Ikadi Amri, and that's what we're up to, know that we have a brand new pshat. Bekodunami pligi. Even if he says, I give you the Shiroi as is, and she thinks to herself, I don't know if it's worth $5 or $50 or $20 or $100, I don't know. But it's certainly worth more than a Sheva Pruta. So if she takes it, l'choyre, it should work. Says Rabbi Yosef, no. Even Bekotu, he has to go and appraise it in advance and give her the certificate from the American Appraisal Society that it's worth even $1 or $50 or $10. Why? Says Rabbi Yosef, it has nothing to do with smichas das, like we said before. It has to do inherently with the heftza of the kesef. Barry always likes to distinguish between the gavra and the heftza. According to the previous pshat, the reason why Rav Yosef requires a shuma is because of the gavra. The gavra here meaning the lady, the itza. We want to make sure that she's simeches das. However, according to this new pshat, it has nothing to do with the gavra. It has to do with the heftza. What means the heftza? The shove kesef, the shiroi. Rav Yosef Amar shove kesef, how are you kesef? Our Mishnah said you can mekadesh with kesef or with shove kesef. The shove kesef means that it's got to be as similar in quality to the kesef. Now, what means similar to quality? Ma kesef de kayit, just like kesef, you know how much the kesef is worth. You just look at the denomination. You can easily tell the difference between a quarter, a dime, a nickel, a penny, a silver dollar. Just look at it. What does it say on the coin? So that's kayit. You know for sure what it's worth. Abav shavu kesef, namini kayit. When it comes to Shiroi, you don't know how much the Shiroi is worth unless you get a certificate that says, this Shiroi is worth $50. And therefore, it says Rav Yosef, it's not because of Smichas Das, it's a halacha in Hilchos Kesef, that you have to know the value in advance. Rav Yosef, where do I take this from? Rav Yosef didn't need to bring a raya in the first pshat of yesterday, because on Smichas Das, you and I can understand that if she is not fully happy with the mode of acquisition, with this Shiroi, then you'll have no tiki no washi. No Shiroi worth $50, she doesn't know. She's not maskim. So you don't need a pasik for that. But here Rav Yosef is taking a gevaldig chiddush. He's telling us that even though he gave it to her and says, I give it to you in its as-is condition, and you're looking and you're seeing, yeah, it's worth at least a shava pruta, it's worth at least $20. I don't know if it's worth $50. But what difference does it make if he says, I give you as is, and she says, fine, we're done. Says Rav Yosef, no! There's a requirement that shava kesef be a definitive amount in the minds of the chosen kala, just like when you look at a mabea, you know what it's worth. When you're getting shiro, you have to know what it's worth. Right, Rav Yosef, you know, in the middle of, where do I take this from? Tisanya, shtei techana braisa, mi kesef miknosai, mi kesef udiknevein, and nikna bitvua vikelen. What is this all about? This pasuk is referring to a person who's being poide an eved ivri prior to his 6 years. As you know, an eved ivri is sold for shei shanam yavoid, 6 years. Let's assume that the odoin paid $600 for this eved. If you amortize 600 over 6 years, that means he's worth $100 a year. What happens after 3 years? The Eved Ivri was somehow able to strike gold. Maybe he bought a lottery ticket. Maybe he has a third cousin who had pity on him and gave him $300. He gives back now $300. It was 3 years. So he worked 3 years. Now he's supposed to work another 3 years, but the continuing 3 years is worth $300. The third cousin or the Eved gives 300 to the original Adoin, and the Eved goes free. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Mikesef Miknosai. If you have the Orah Torah or Hasholem, Im Oid Rabbeis Pashonim, Lafian Yoshev Geulasai, Mikesef Miknosai. Get your Geula by giving back some of the original Kesef Mikna, the Kesef was used to purchase this Eved. Now the Gemara darshins mikasev unikna. You can go and be poda the eved, as well as you can buy the eved. Since we're relating to the pidyon to the kesev miknasoi, so they have to be of the same type, the same genre, and therefore mikasev kesev unikna mein unikna betvuah v'kelim. You cannot buy an eved for tvuah v'kelim using the tvuah v'kelim as the medium of payment, as well as you cannot use it to go and be poida. And Frank Dimora, I don't understand why you're saying that. Hai tvua v'kelim hechidami. We say tvua, we mean grain. And kelim, of course, are any different types of vessels or what have you. Metalklin. So Frank Dimora, hechidami. What is this drasha that kesef yes, and tvua v'kelim no? If you're talking about tvua v'kelim, that you cannot use them at all under any circumstances as shava kesef, you're wrong. The very same pasuk says yoshev geulosay mikesef miknasay. Yoshev amrachmana l'rabbi shava kesef kikesef. The Gemara is bothered by the extra word yoshev, which means to return. L'chayra, it would be enough if you go back to the pasuk im oid rabbi's bashanin, if there's still a number of years left to his servitude, l'fiyan, based on that, geula, so I give the geula, what geula do you give? Mikesef miknasay, by amortizing the original purchase price. What is this yashiv geula? So the word yashiv would seem to be totally ibrik, superfluous. Zok tiyumara, so therefore, the apostle comes to tell you, yashiv, the rabbi shavik kesef ki kesef, that you don't have to actually pay with money, you can give the monetary equivalent in metalklin, in tvua or kelim. So if that's the case, how did the Braisa say mikesef miknasoi, mikesef koine, v'ena nikne b'tvua v'kelim? So chneshemis, yoshev gulose comes to include tvua v'kelim. Elamai b'idales v'shavapruta, you're telling me the tvua v'kelim are not worth a shavapruta. And that's why you cannot use them to go and be poide the eved. My iri tvuah v'kelim. After the kesef nami, even if you wanted to be poida the eved with actual cash, if you gave him less than a shava pruta, you're not koina. You can't be poida. The minimum of kesef has got to be a shava pruta. Elav avad mujmenzom this shava pruta, that the kesef v'kelim were worth a shava pruta. One braisa says that I learned yoshev geulasei. L'rabbi shava kesef ki kesef, I can use shava kesef, which presumably includes tvuah v'kelim. I have another posik that says, or another braisa that says, mikesef miknasoi, that ain't a nickname of tvuah v'kelim. So what's pshat? It cannot be talking that it didn't have a shava pruta, because if it didn't have a shava pruta, then even regular kesef is worthless. You cannot be koina. El lav the ispu shava pruta. Muzach said it did have a value of a shava pruta. So why can't you use the tvuah v'kelim? So Timar v'kivin le'kaitzi loy. I'll tell you why. Because I don't know the value. So when it says Yashav Gula, say the Rabbi Shav v'kesef, it means that you have a special appraisal certificate that says that the kesef v'kelim are worth, the tvuah v'kelim are worth $50. Okay, then that's fine. When it says in that first brisa that they nicked the tvuah v'kelim, means that you did not have an appraisal certificate. And therefore says Rabbi Yosef, I have a befeder shalimut to tell you that when you want to use sheva kesef, it's got to be kaitzi, you got to know how much it's really worth. Rabbi Yosef seems to have a good raya. What does Rabbi do with this raya? Remember, Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Yosef and says you do not need a shuma. The idach says, Rabbi hachik amar. No, pshat is totally different. But to this kesef unikna, when it says that you cannot be koine b'tvuah v'kelim, you really can be koine b'tvuah v'kelim. If the tvuah v'kelim are being given as the cash equivalent, metalklin are similar to kelim, you can easily sell them on the street and get the money, the value for them. So if you want to use shava kesef kikesef, our Mishnah says that's fine. You can even buy a woman for shava kesef, which, by the way, is not remote. That's the way we do Edison nowadays. You never saw at least I never saw, under a chuppah, that a chassan hands over cash to the kala. He goes and hands over a ring and puts the ring on the finger. The ring is by definition shavu kasef. According to Rabbi Yosef, each time he would have to go and give her the ring, he'd also have to give her a GIA certificate exactly how much the ring is worth. According to Rabbi, that's not necessary. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, says Rabbi, when it says in the Pasuk over here, Bekesef u'niknam and niknam b'ktuva v'kelim, you can buy an Eved, and you can be poda an Eved for ktuva v'kelim if it's worth the value of the Kesef. It means v'toiras tvuah v'kelim. If you're not trying to go and buy the eved or redeem the eved with tvuah v'kelim as monetary equivalents, as cash equivalents, but rather you want to do it v'toiras tvuah v'kelim. U'mayninu, what does that mean? Chalipin. Then it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because when it comes to whenever we go and sell our chametz to the rabbi, or for that matter, always in the Kabbalah's panim room, when people are getting ready to sign the ksuba, and nowadays they're writing the tenoyim, then whoever's being masader always gives you either a gartel, or a pen, or a handkerchief, pick it up, and you have your kinyan sudur, your kinyan chalipin. Says Igmar, you want to use tvua or kalim betreides chalipin. You cannot use that to go and buy karka. You can use kasef. The chosim sheyesh lemachrayis niknun bekasef b'shtar ubechazaka, but not with chalipin. And the same thing as when we talked about marrying a woman. She will not take chalipin. The reason for that is because she won't be mekanya nafsha on a Kenai, since chalipin works even with a keli, she'ein by shava pruta, a woman less than a shava pruta is not going to be mekanya nafsha. So that's what the Bryce is telling us. You want to buy an eved, then you got to go and pay kasef, or use tevuah v'kelim b'toyras kasef. But if you're using tevuah v'kelim b'toyras chalipin, then you're going to go and use it as a barter or picking it up, like we typically do with the pen or the gartel, or whatever, that doesn't work. Frank, do you mind?
Actually, what's the difference? If you're using two of the kalim, you're not using cash. What's the difference functionally if you're using two of the kalim b'toras kesef or two of the kalim b'toras chalipin? I don't understand what's the functional difference in the kinyan.
Good. You've Baruch Hashem married off at least your daughter. So I don't know if you recall, and I don't know whether your Masada Kedushin went and, before they signed the Ksuba or the Tanoim, whether he gave you or the Eidim a pen to pick up and be Kona for purposes of signing on the document. But if he did, you'll notice after he gave the pen to you or to the Eidim to pick up, he wanted the pen back. You should have told him, hey, you give me a pen, why am I giving it back? Because that's the way the kinyan chalipin works. It's like a sudur. You take it, you pick it up, one tefach, three tefach, and whatever, you give it back, and that is the chalipin. Over here, if you wanted to go and buy an eved, and the odoin, whoever owns this eved, is happy not to get money, but just to get a kesef chalipin, or just chalipin, you give him the sudur, and he takes it, says our Gemara, sorry, that kinyan does not work. It's very nice, it's very gracious that he's not taking any money. He's willing to just take the handing over the pen and returning the pen, but that is not a kinyan when it comes to kesef miknasi. For other things it does, but not for buying and selling avodim, and the same thing as the gabe karkois, and the same thing as the gabe, our woman, who a person is marrying in our Mishnah. So that's what the Bryce is coming to tell you. If you're handing over the tvur v'kelim and says, it belongs to you. Oh, how much the tvur v'kelim is worth? $10, $50, $100, that's enough. I'm happy with that. B'toyres kesef, says Rabba, that works. You want to use a b'toyres chalipin, then I'm going to take my pen back afterwards, my talim, that doesn't work. That's what the Bryce is getting at. So it's nothing to do with appraising the value, yes or no. Vreit Dimara, Rav Nachman says you can't even use peiros for chalipin. You'll never see, or at least I have never seen, that instead of giving the pen or the gartel or the handkerchief, that they hand over a peach or a plum and say, "Yeah, pick this up, and we're going to go and make a kinyan sudra, kinyan chalipin." According to Nachman, peiros they have the chalipin. So if that's the case, you don't need a posik to go and tell you mikesef miknosi. Betoydas kesefu nikna, ve'ina nikna betoydas tvua, the kalim, and you're telling me that means chalipin, tvua doesn't even come in the parasha of chalipin. So Jeff should say, ve'ina nikna bekalim, not betvua bekalim. So what does Rabba do with this word tvua if he holds like Rav Nachman? Says Igmara, okay, put that aside. We're going back to a kinyan of money, a kinyan of kesef, not chalipin. If it's kinyan of kesef, why doesn't the tvua of a kelim work? Eli oylam less mushava pruta. We're talking about tvua of a kelim that are not worth a shava. If it's worth a shava pruta, says Rabba, you don't need an appraisal. Shava pruta works. Kesef shava kesef. It doesn't have to be kitzi. You don't need an appraisal certificate. So ibazoi, why can't you use the tvua of a kelim in this posik, in this brisa? You said that if it's talking about the tvua v'kelim is worth less than a shava pruta, then for shteitzach you can't use it to go and buy the eved. Even if you had kesef, which is worth less than a shava pruta. In other words, you have a half a penny coin. Nowadays, of course, it doesn't exist. But back many, many years ago, they had a half penny, just like they had the penny. So they had a half a pruta coin. So if it's a half a pruta coin, of course you can go and buy an eved with that, because it's not shav, it's not that it's not shav kesef. It's not kesef. It's less than a shav pruta. So for shteitzach, he can't use it to move a kelim. No. Lo mi boy kama. He's telling us a chiddush. Lo mi boy kesef. The is pei shav pruta in iloi loi. Avad, if you have a half a pruta, you cannot buy an eved for a half a pruta. It does not qualify for a kinyan of kesef. It has to be a minimum of a pruta. I would think if the person, instead of giving him the chotzi pruta in cash, if he gives him the chotzi pruta in tvu v'kelim, he's makarva anasayu. You're thinking to yourself, what can you go and buy for a half a pruta? Well, years ago you can go and buy Wrigley's gum. That's before the times that you had to have an OU on every single product. Anyway, I'm sure you all remember. So you were able to go and buy Wrigley's gum, 5 pieces of gum, I guess at one time probably for 3 cents. Later on it went skyrocketing up to 5 cents each, and then 10 cents. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, but there was a period of time you can go and buy at least 1 stick of the Wrigley's gum for less than a penny. So Ibazoi, this individual loves gum. And therefore, says the Gemara, if you give him a half a penny, no, I'm not half a penny, come on. Half a penny, you're shaming me, you're humiliating me, a half a penny. No, I'm not going to give you a penny. I'm going to give you a piece of chewing gum. Oh, chewing gum. Mister, the chewing gum is worth less than half a penny. You're right. But this way I don't have to go to the corner shop. I don't have to go to the guy that sells the newspapers. He gave me the thing, and he takes it. I'm a chaya. It was wonderful.
Bygone,
yeah. Well, since we're getting off on a tangent a little bit, I remember my wife and I, when we went to Russia, about 35 years ago. This was before Gorbachev. At that time, the president of, the head of the Communist Party was Yuri Andropov, and all the local Jews added Yimach Shemoy after his name. Anyway, so he was the head of Russia at the time. Why did my wife and I go? We were sent by the Aguda on behalf of the Vad, the Hatzolas Nitche Yisrael, to try to go and do some kirov work behind the Iron Curtain. Anyway, one of the things they told us was that the exchange rate for dollars and rubles was really a joke. And if you brought into the bank, if you gave $1, they gave you like 75, whatever, less than the zhulta, whatever the denomination is, but less than 1 ruble. However, if you went to the black market, for $1, you can go and get 25 or 30 ruble. In other words, a dollar was far, far more worth than the ruble, but you know the official rate. And if you did go on the black market, achas dosai, they could put you in jail for 10 years. So you got to stay away. So what do you do? One of the things that you had to do in Russia was travel. And let's say you took a taxi. So they suggested instead of giving money, you should take along cigarettes. For Kachav, there were a few taxi drivers that we went. The official, the meter showed you had to pay 10 ruble. We gave him 3 cigarettes and he was overjoyed. The 3 cigarettes was worth 25 cents or 50 cents, whatever it was worth at the time. But then there was one taxi driver that we went to. We offered the cigarettes. No. He said, yum, 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 yum. Yum, 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 yum. Yum, yum, yum. Took us about 10 times till we figured out this was a very young driver. He was asking for chewing gum. He was hoping we'd be able to give him a pack of Wrigley's chewing gum, and with that he would patter the 10 rubles and he wanted the gum. Anyway, the point is, even though in our Gemara the chewing gum is worth less than a shavapruta, but it's mekar v'hanasayu. He's delighted to be able to get the chewing gum. He doesn't have to go to the corner store and pay for it, so he's willing to go. So sol kadaita chamina. Then in such a case, even though if you gave real kesef of a chotzi pruta, with that you cannot be koina and eved, but I would have thought the tvu of a kalim that is worth a chotzi pruta, you could, because mekar v'hanasayu, kamash malon, that's why the Bryce is telling you, no, it has to have an inherent value of a shavar pruta, even though you and I might think I'm willing to take it for less than a Sheva Pruta because of the Kaiv and Asayu, the Chiddush of the Braisa is no. But it has nothing to do with Hilchoy Shuma. And therefore Rabbi says, Rav Yosef, with all due respect, you have no raya that the Shiroi or Sheva Kesef has to have a Shuma. Therefore we have a new raya now. Rav Yosef, you know I'm going to bring you a raya now, the Sanya, from the following Braisa. Tosis points out that Rav Yosef's raya here is not on this second Ikad the Amri, which we started today on the bottom of Zayin Amit Beis, where even for a, when he says, I give a shiroi kol dehu, you have to have a kayetz, you have to have a shuma. Here we're going according to the first pshat that you need a shuma in order that the woman is samchadaita. And our Gemara is going to tell us, it's not only din in women, it's a din in anybody that's engaging in a transaction. If you're giving him or her shavu kesef, says Rav Yosef, you have to know what you're receiving. Because if you don't know what you're receiving, then perhaps either the purchaser or the recipient says, I don't know whether this is worth the $50 that you're telling me. And therefore, the kinyan is not chal, or the transaction is not chal. So Omer Rav Yosef, minu. I'll bring you another raya. This time it says in the pasuk. I'm sorry, it says in the Braisa. Egel zel opinion bini. Talas zel opinion bini. Loi omar klum. We have a situation of pinyin event. I'm sure you've all been to pinyin events every once in a while. It's not a frequent mitzvah, but Baruch Hashem, every once in a while there's a pinyin event. And of course, the major aspect of the pinyin event is not how delicious the main course is or the color of the flowers, but rather that the father of the Bechor has to go and give 5 sloim to the Kohen. Okay, we all know that. What happens if he didn't have any cash with him? So he goes into the hall where 500 people can't wait to see the pinyin event. The sign here, Egel Zel Pinyin Bini. Here I'm going to give you this Egel, a young calf. And people are saying, holy cow! And it's not a cow, it's only a calf. I've never been to a pinyin event where they give a calf. But that's what he did. He gave the eagle for a pinyin event. Or he said, talas el pinyin bini. Here, I give you a new talas. Talas, of course, could be a talas like we use it for davening. Or a talas could also be another article of clothing. But the point is, that's what he's giving. Loi omar klum. This is gunish vet. It's nothing. He did not effect a proper pinyin. However, if the father says to the kohen, eagle ze bechomish sloim le pinyin bini. Talazu becomes sloim opinion bini. This egel of the value of 5 sloim I'm giving for the pinyin event. This talis of the value of 5 sloim opinion event. Benoi podoi, it works. And the obvious question is, what's the difference between the resha and the sefer? You know, if it had the value of 5 sloim, no, yosher the rabbi shavu kesef kekesef. If it doesn't have the value of 5 sloim, he can go and say from Van Hamp is Morgan, from today till tomorrow, this egel of the value of five slime, if it doesn't have the value, it doesn't have the value. So what are we talking about? So that's what's bothering of Yosef, and from that he's going to bring his raya. Explain to me what the facts are. Are you telling me that the egel or the talis is just not worth five slime? And that's why in the Reisha it says, when he gives him the egel or the talis, it's just not worth it. So if it's not worth five slime, then of course, so how does it help when he says in the Sefer, this egel I'm giving you betoras, as if it's five slime? Kol kaminei, does he have the ability and the authority to go and impress his valuation on something which is not worth five? In other words, I have my pen here in my pocket. How much is this pen worth? 50 cents. Well, I'm giving it to you, betoras, $5 for five slime. Mister, it's not worth the five slime. You can stand on your head, you can call it five slime, but it's only worth 50 cents. Don't tell me it's five slime. So kol kaminei. This price is talking about that the egel and the talis are worth the five slime. So why doesn't it work in the ratio when he gives him the egel or talis? Everybody sees it's worth five slime. Why lay him a club? Must be because it didn't have an appraisal. And the Sefer is talking about that there was an appraisal. So that's the nafkamina between the Reish and the Sefer. The Reish is talking about he gave an eagle, mitatalis, and he didn't give him an appraisal certificate. So even though it was worth five salim, says Rabbi Yosef, like we had in the first pshat, if you're not boki b'shuma, loy sam chadaita. When I go and see a talis, when I go and see an eger, do I know automatically that it's worth five slime? No. Maybe it's an inferior talis that's going to tear the first day. Maybe it's an eger that chwais a balmum. Who knows? Whatever. It's just, if I don't know, I don't know. So layim aklum. On the other hand, if I have an appraisal certificate, like the Sefer says, this eger is worth chomish slime. Here, I have the paper to show you. And it's signed by the American Appraisal Society. So you see that it's worth it. Oh, so says Rav Yosef, that's my raya that you have to have kayit. Everything more like you have no raya, Rav Yosef. The truth of the matter is that the egel and the talis are not worth five saloim, and that's why in the Reish Liyom HaKlum. So why does the Sefer does it work? It's talking about that the koyin said that's fine. The four sloim talis, or the four sloim egel, is fine. I'm willing to accept it, the toires chomish sloim. Why is he willing to accept it? Ki had Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, the Gemara assumes, was a kohen, which, by the way, is not so simple. There's a toisis in the side that says it may have been multiple Rav Kahanas. Some that were kohanim, some that weren't kohanim. Anyway, even today we have people by the name Mr. Kohen, and not necessarily is he a kohen. In fact, there are, unfortunately, even Kayans who today are Goyim, which is also not that surprising, Loyalenu, because the father could have been a Kayan, and he married a Goyta, and the child not only is not a Kayan, the child is a Goy Gamur mit Aladinim. Anyway, but the point is that Rav Kahana, we assume from our Gemara, at least this Rav Kahana was a Kayan, and Ishoko Sudra mi bei penyiraban. He would accept a Sudra. A sudr means a nice shawl or a handkerchief or whatever, if he was receiving from Pinyin, even though the sudr may not have been worth five slime, it may only have been worth 350 or four slime. However, Amalei, he told people, Liditi, for me, Chazili Chamish slime, I see Chamish slime in front of my eyes. What's the reason why Rav Kahana took a sudr which was worth less than five slime and said, for me it's worth five? He's a choshev yid. He doesn't go anywhere without a head covering. He always has a sudra on his head. Apparently, in the times of our Gemara, not everybody wore a sudra areshe. Maybe they wore different covering. Maybe they wore small yarmulkes, and he wore a sudra, a choshev shal that was like a hat. Whatever. But the point is that he needed this sudr, and for him, you're giving me a sudr for the pinyin aban? You don't have to give me five slum. I needed a new siddur, and my wife has been complaining a long time that the one that I have is already tattered and is already torn. I'm so happy, brand new siddur. That's fine, even though it's less than five slum. Ah, so that's what the Bryce is saying. The egel of the talis, which is worth less than five slum, lay maklum. However, if the father says to the kohen, and the kohen says, yeah, I'm willing to accept this egel or talis as if they were five slum, I need a new egel, I need a new talis, then utaku would work. But anybody else that you would give a suder to, he wouldn't be machshavit the same way, because he doesn't need the suder. He puts the suder away in his drawer, and the next time he'll use it, it'll be 6 months from now when it'll be cold or whatever. This is the son of Ravashi that said a moment ago that Rav Kahana is Gavra Rabba. So now Mar Ravashi, who apparently was also a Gavra Rabba, Zovan Suda, he bought a Suda, Me'ime de Rabba, from the mother of Rabba. Apparently not the Rabba Bar Nachmeni that we have throughout Chas, but Rabba Me'kuvi, Rashi says Me'kuvi, from a place called Kuvi. Shovi Asara, the real market price on the Suda was 10, but later he was willing to take it for the value of 13, because he was desperate to have a Suder. He's a Gavra Rabba, you have to have a Suder. So, in such a situation, it would work. So bottom line is, all our Gemara is telling us is that we don't have, again, a concrete Raya to Rav Yosef from this Braisa that distinguishes between Egel v'Talis l'yom haklum, or Egel b'chamish sloim, Talis b'chamish sloim, yah, it's padui. Rav Yosef said the chelik between the Reish and the Sefer is whether it had a shuma or not. Says Rabbi, no, nothing to do with shuma. It has to do with whether the person is willing to accept it for five shloim, even though it doesn't have the inherent value of five shloim. And again, to quote Barry, it's not a question whether the chefza is worth the five shloim, it's whether the gavra is willing to accept the chefza as if it is worth five shloim. Next, Shikling Mar. Now this is already unrelated. We've concluded the discussion between Rabbi and Rav Yosef, Legabe Shuma. Omer Abluza, Hiskachali B'man. The Chosid said to the Kala, I'm going to go be Mekadosh you, not with a pruta or with a dinner. I'm going to give you a mana. A mana is 100 dinrim. That's a lot of money. And she agreed. Now it's the Chasana, it's under the Chuppah, and she's waiting to get the mana for Noslan the dinner. And she's somewhat disappointed. He gives her a dinner. Now, a dinner is a choshem and matbeya, but it's not a mana. Says Reb Luzer, harizim kodesh is v'yashlim. That he said 100 and she accepted, that was like a tanai built in. I'm going to give you the minimum. According to Beis Shammai, the minimum is a dinner. According to Beis Hillel, the dinner, the minimum is a pruta. However, that he said is kachali the mana, he didn't mean I'm going to give you on the spot, under the chuppah, in front of all the cameras, in front of the Edom. No. I'm going to give you whatever I need to go. Mekadosh you. And Mitzvah, I'm going to be Mashlam. I'm going to give you the rest of the other 99 dinrim within a week or two. Says the Imara, Mikudash, it works. Azizu Kribbulus. Frank, you're my timer. Kim the Amala Mana Biyavla dinner. Kiman the Amala Almanastami. It's as if he built in a stipulation, a condition. We had this a few times at the end of Masechtas Gittin, and we have it again in Nachumol, that any time that you go and build in a condition with Almanaz, it's as if it's me'achshav, and therefore, even though he's only going to pay you the other 99 dinrim in a week from now or in a month from now, but it works me'achshav, and that's why harizu mikudeshes. Fine. Reiti mara meisvei. Hiskachli b'mana, I am mekadesh you with a mana. V'yamoyna v'hoylech. And now underneath the chuppah, he starts taking out the dollar bills. $1 and $2 and $3 and $4. A little bit of patience, we'll get to a mana, we'll get to $100. V'yotza me'echem me'hen lachsar. In the middle of the counting out of the money before he completed the ganza mana, if one of them just changed his mind, that Philip Adina Achron, we're up to the 100th dinner towards this mana, both he or she can change their minds until the final moment. What do you mean? According to Blazer, as soon as you handed over the dinner, here this person says, I'm not going to be mashlim in a week from now. I'm going to be mashlim right now. Here I give you one dinner, and now I'm being mashlim, two and three and four and five and six and seven. According to Blaza, as soon as he handed over the first dinner, they're mekudeshes. How can you go and change your mind? It's too late. You're married. Every Malcolm my skin in the Omer b'manazu. Oh, he didn't say, I'm going to give you a mana. I'm going to give you this mana. And therefore, says Rashi, when he said this mana, then she say mechdas that she's going to go and get a full mana now. And until she receives that last penny or the last dinner towards that mana, they're not mikhudash. So Rav Loz is talking about a mana stam. I'm going to give you a mana. Okay. I don't have to give it to you at the time of the wedding. I'll give it to you a week later. I'd rather have to go and give her now at least something to be mekadesher. But I'll give the rest later on. Masha Inkein, in our Gemara, it's talking about b'mana zu. This mana. Oh, this mana. That's what I agreed to. I want the full mana. Frek di mara. That's not the pshat in the braisa of Manazu. Because look at the sefer, which we have not quoted yet. We're going to quote right now. Hamna sefer b'manazu reishu b'manastam. The sefer says b'feirish manazu. The katani sefer. Omolo yiskacha li b'manazu. This whole mana. V'nimtza mana chasa dinner. She took an envelope with a gansa mana. And there in the yichud room she says, before we're going to drink and eat something, I know we're both fasting, but before we get to that, I want to count out to see that your daka gave me a mana. And she starts counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and guess what? There are only 99 dinner. Oy, oy, oy. Mana chasa dinner. Oy, she finds that among the 100 dinarim that he gave her, one was not a dinar shel kesef, it was shel nechoshes. It was copper, which obviously is not the same value. Ain't a mekudeshes. Because he said, the mana zoo, you got to give the full 100. If there's only 99, no good. Dinner ra. What if instead of finding chasa dinner, dinner shel nechoshes, we found a dinner ra. Dinner ra means that this coin is difficult to circulate because many storekeepers won't accept it. It's a little bit ugevetched. Ugevetched means it's a little bit worn off on the side. Dinner ra, harizu mekudeshes. It still works. They aren't the kudish, the yachlif, and he just has to go and exchange the dinner ra for a dinner toif. The Gemara is going to ask later on, what's the difference between the dinner shalchoshes and dinner ra? Why by dinner ra do you say mekudeshes the yachlif? Why don't you say by nechoshes also mekudeshes the yachlif? We'll see that on the bottom of the amud. Anyway, what do I see from this? That the reisha l'chayra must be talking about manastam, because the sefer says that we're talking about manazu. So I see that even by manastam, that hayamoyna v'haylich, what's the din? You could change your mind until the final moment, until the dinner achrayim. And Reb Loza says, as soon as you hand over the dinner, mekudeshes. Everything more light. Reisha v'sefer the yama manazu. Both the reisha v'sefer talking about manazu. Aha. So why do I have to repeat the halacha twice? Uprusha kamafarish, and the safe is being masbir and being mafarish the reisha. That what? Rotze echem yehen lachzer afilu b'dinu achrayin rishus b'yodah. That's the reisha that we quoted before, right? He was hayyamayna b'haylich, and then one of them wanted to change their minds. You could change your mind until that 100th dinner. Ketzad, what is the situation? Oh, I'll tell you the facts. You're going to amal manazu. So therefore it's really one case. It's not two separate cases. Manastam and Manazu. The Seif is explaining that we're talking about Manazu. One case. Vakanam Nistavra. And this is not a remote pshat. This is the svar. It's sensible. Disogadai Dekoration Manastam. If you tell me the ratio, talking about Manastam, and you can go and change your mind until the final dinner. Ho Achroin. Hashim Manastam Leyavikidushi. Madach Manastam. He didn't stipulate Manazu. He said, I'm going to give you a mana. Says the Braisa, you better pay up the entire thing, because until the final dinner, you could change your mind. If that's the case, if the manastam le'av kedushi, then the manazu miboy, the fashteitz of manazu, it's not going to be kedushin until he gives her the full mana, because Rashi says, data akula, she wants the entire mana. If he said manazu, no, produce, I want to see the manazu. So this is crystal clear that the Seifa and the Reisha are one and the same, and the Seifa is only Purushi Kamafarish. So to Yamara, no. Imishim Hola Yiria. Flamaisi, you could learn that pshat, that the Seifa is being Mafarish the Reisha, but it's not that it's Mistaver. it's very possible that the Reisha is Manestam, the Seif is Manazu. Tana Seif Legluya Reisha. The Seif is coming to be Megala and explain the Reisha that what? Shaloi Toim Reisha Manazu. Avam Manestam, Havi Kedushin. I might have thought that maybe the halacha is only Manazu, that you can go and change your mind until the dinner ho achre. But Manestam, you cannot change your mind. And like Rebbe Lozer said, as soon as you hand over the first dinner, Mikudeshes, try to save him a manazu, Mechlal de Reisha, Manestam, Bafelo Haki Lehavi Kedushin. Even in the Reisha, when you only said Manestam, it's also not Kedushin. So not that it's one shot, that it's one case. It's not two separate cases. And even by Manestam, until that final dinner, Harek Shus B'yod, you can go and change your mind. And so therefore, although it's not a kasha on Rebbe Lozer, because Rebbe Lozer can learn that the Reisha and the Sefer are both talking about Manazu, but by Manestam it would be the din, Mikudeshes V'yashlim. However, you have no concrete right in that pshat. I could easily learn the pshat in the Braisa, not like Rebbe Lozer, but I don't have a kasha, but I don't have a raya either. Rav Ashi, Omer Rav Ashi says, the ganze kasha that you started asking from this Braisa and Rebbe Lozer, means there is nothing to start. There's no kasha whatsoever. Why? Because moina b'hoilich shani, the data akule. Meaning, if he had promised her, I'm going to give you a mana, and we're going to get married, and she says, oh, mana, I've never seen a mana in my life. That's so much money, I can't wait. And under the chuppah, he gives her a dinner, and she accepts it, says her blazer, mikudeshes b'yashlim. He didn't say he's going to give you a mana under the chuppah. He said to her, I'm going to give you a mana, fine. He gives her dinner, that's enough, even according to Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, got the dinner, mikudeshes, and any mashlim. That's fine. However, if he's under the chuppah, and he's starting to count out, one Mississippi and two Mississippi, one dinner, two dinner, three dinner, four dinner, oh, then she's saying mechdas, that she's going to get the full 100, until that final 100th dinner, he and she can go and change their minds. In other words, this is the legal equivalent of saying manazu, just by the fact that you're handing over one, two, three, and you're counting it out. So now she has, oh, he's not going to give me the mana under the chuppah. No, I'm waiting for the full mana. Until that final dinner is counted out, he and she can change their minds. Okay, so with this we have fe'enthed the kasha on Rebbe Lozer. Now we just want to understand internally the braisa. The braisa says that afterwards, she gets the 100 dinner, and she discovers one of them is a dinner shal nechoishes, then, ain't a mikudesh, it's right tomorrow. Hey, chidam, if she saw when he handed over the 100 dinner that one of them was copper, and the other were shining silver, if she saw it, hasav rekibla, she was masking. In other words, why didn't she protest initially when she received the money? She should say, hey, no, this dinner is no good. This dinner is nechoshin, not kesef. Everyone let's drink the yavan ilay belayit. It's talking about the tichasim that took place at night, and it was dark. Inam dishtakach le beni zuzi, or he handed over a whole pile of money, and she picked it up and said, "Yeah, it certainly feels like and looks like 100 dinner," but she didn't go and look at every coin individually. It was just there in the sack of coins or in the envelope or whatever. Only subsequently did she discover it was a dinner shul nechoshes. No, so he didn't give her the full 100 dinarim, ain't a mikudeshes. However, if it's a dinner ra, it's your mikudeshes. If merchants won't accept it because of its poor condition, ha'ed dinner shul nechoshes, then it's not worth a dinner of kesef, she should be ain't a mikudeshes. You're right, many merchants are not going to take it. You're going to go bring it to the bank. The banker will say, no, this is not a good coin, forget about it. However, if you go to people that are desperate for business, okay, I'm not happy with the dinner rod, but, you know, somehow or other I'm going to hand it over to somebody else, I'll take it from you. So since it's nafik ha'ideat chak, that's why the kedushin was chal, he paid her the full 100 dinarim, and even though that one of them was shvach, but lemaise, it does work. If you push it through, certain merchants will take it. But the Yachlif, he should go and exchange it for a better dinner, so we don't have any issues. Okay, new case now. Omer Rav Amram Nachman. Omer Loh, Hiskat Shalibi Mana. I want to be Mekadoshi with the Mana. She says, fine. No, where is the mana? He says, at the moment, I don't have a penny to my name. I can't give you any money, but I give you a mashkin. Here is my Cartier watch. You could take that as a mashkin. I'm going to give you the money. Einu mekudeshes. It does not work. Why doesn't it work? Because he wanted mana einkan onto the top of the Amid base. He didn't give her kesef kedushin. He didn't give her anything. I busim mit dem mashkin, says Rashi. The mashkin is ein shava klum, ein a mashkin matana. If he'd give you the Cartier watch and say, I don't have the $100, but I give you the watch, okay, fine. Yoshev rabbi shava kesef ki kesef. But he's not giving her money. The mashkin is not something he's giving to her as a present. He's just giving to her as collateral. So Davali hasn't given her anything. When he gives her money, okay, we'll talk about it then. But at the moment, he hasn't given her anything. Ein a mekudeshes. Okay. Let me ask you a kasha. Kitchim and Mashkin says in the Braisa, he was Makadish with a Mashkin Mikudashes. Oh, so you see it works. And you just told me that it doesn't work. Everyone has a Mashkin Da'achayrim. It's talking about a Mashkin that he received from somebody else. In other words, the Chosin had lent money to Yankel. Yankel didn't pay back the money yet. In the meantime, he gave him collateral. So now he, the Chosin, who's holding on to that mashkin, he takes that mashkin and he gives it to the kala as kesef kiddushin. Now, this is worth money, this mashkin. This is not just mashkin that I'm giving you, kala, from my own mashkin as a collateral that I will pay you. This mashkin that he got from Acherim is worth. When a Baal Choyv gets a mashkin, it belongs to him. Shenema ulechotia tzedaka. What is this ulechotia tzedaka? This is talking about Nebuch here, talking about a very poor person, either an alman or even almana, where the only thing that they have to their name is two sets of garments, the daily set of garments and the pajama. And therefore, every single night, the person comes to the loive and says, Nunu, where's the mashkin? Oh, I'm giving you my daily suit that I wear every day. And now I'm going to put on my pajamas. Next morning, he better go and return the suit because obviously the loivik can't go out in the marketplace. He can't go to shul wearing his pajamas. So what does it say in the pasuk? Hashiv toshiv loy esu avoid kivoy hashemesh v'shachar b'salmosoy uveiracheka. Make sure that at night he has his pajamas. During the day that he has his daily suit. So hashiv toshiv loy, each time give it back to him. At night or in the morning. Ulechotia tzedakah. By doing this, you have given charity. Freiti Mara. Charity? The pajamas don't belong to me. I'm just returning to him his own pajamas. Why is it called tzedakah? Is the chassimin says, Rav Yitzchak, im einoi koina tzedakah minai, mikan lebal choyiv shekoina mashkin. Ah! So therefore, the chassin owns this mashkin, and therefore he's able to give that mashkin to her as a present for purposes of the Kiddushin. That's what Mikudesh is. Now on the surface, this Gemara is a little bit difficult, because after all, Mashkin by definition is something that you return when you get the Halvoa paid. So if there was a $100 Halvoa, and the Malva took a Mashkin, yeah, good, but if the Loiva returns the money, then you have to give the Mashkin back. Now he's going to tell the Kala, Kala, I've got good news for you. The loiv is back, he gave me the money, I need the mashkin back from you. So the vayitei didn't give her anything.
He gives her the $100.
Oh, very good, very good. So the choyra, your pshat is fine, but then the $100 should only be koyra at that time, a month later, whenever the loiv gives back the money, and he demands back the mashkin, then they should, if he gives her the money then, mikudeshes. But the fact that he gave her a mashkin, that was really just a placeholder, if you will, until the halva will be due, and he gives me the money, and I'll give you the money.
He says it's kona, the mashkin, that's what we're saying.
I understand exactly what we're saying, and I understand what you're asking. That's my question to you, too. When if you or I take out a loan, and we give our watches, for instance, as collateral, and then we pay back the loan on the payment date, on the maturity date, don't we get back our mashkin? So what does that mean that he's kona mashkin? He's kona mashkin deval, on a temporary basis, until I get paid back my money. In the meantime, in the case of the Pasuk, the person owns the pajamas, he owns the suit, until the lover pays back the money. But when he pays back the money, I've got to give him the mashkin permanently. I can't go and keep the gum. Very good, very good. So that might be the pshat, because matan amin has the hafzer, meantime it's yours. And then even if you have to go and give it back later on. But there is a, Rashi says here on the second line, mashkin da'achedim, shahoye biyod, that he hold on to mashkin. The kidsha, b'choiv shiyesh loy olav. Hilkach mekudesh isham, mashkin atzmoy konolav. Ah, it's not only that he handed over the mashkin and says, I'm the kaddish you with the mashkin. I'm the kaddish you with the mashkin and what the mashkin represents. What does it represent? It represents the payment obligation of the loive. Now this payment obligation was, let's say, $100. We'll discount it to today's value. Today it's only worth $10 because he's not paying the money yet. But it's at least $10. It's worth more than a Sheva Pruta. And if you will, to reflect that money that I'm giving you now, that obligation, I'm giving you the mashkin. So ultimately, either the loive will not pay back and you own the mashkin, or the loive will pay back and you own the choiv that is represented by this mashkin. So either way, he's giving her something, either mashkin itself or the choiv represented by the mashkin. Why do I need Reb Yitzchak? Because without Reb Yitzchak, I would say that these are oisius porchis ba'avir. Yes, when the loive pays, I'm going to go and give you the money. Yeah, but now you're not giving me the money. Why in the kudeshes now? The brisa says, kitchu mashkin mekudeshes. I'll tell you why. Because the mashkin belongs to the chosin. Unless and until he gets the money. Fine. At that time, we return the mashkin to get the money. I'm giving you, my dear kala, either the original chayv and or the mashkin. Whatever it turns out, we'll see on maturity date what will be. That will work. However, if he's giving a mashkin for his own choiv, that's worthless, because he's not giving her any value. I'm going to pay you a mana. In the meantime, I give you the mashkin. Those are the gunish mitkodesh. Fine. Zukti morabaita. B'nei Rav Huna. So we're going to tell us a couple of stories now. B'nei Rav Huna bar Avin, Zovin hayi amsa bepriti. The children of Rav Huna bar Avin agreed to buy an oma, a shivcha, by paying prutois. Prutois of nechoshes. When it came the closing date, they had no cash. Instead, they gave to the original owner of the shivcha, they gave him a mashkin of a nascha. Nascha means a bar of silver, a bar of gold. Rashi says, chatich shel kesef, a bar of silver. Now that bar of silver presumably was worth more than all of the prutais. Lamaisa, at the moment, they haven't given the prutais, and the Moicher wants prutois for whatever reason. For all I know, he's in the copper smelting business. He wants the prutois on the chayshes. He got the nascha in the meantime. Lesoif ayakar amsa. By the time they were able to get the prutois and deliver it to the former owner, the prices on maidservants, on amois, went up dramatically. And now the original owner says, you never paid me until now. You just gave me the mashkin of the nascha. I couldn't use that nascha. As far as I was concerned, it was worthless. It's a nice placeholder, but lamaisa, I didn't get anything. I want now the higher price. And of course, the b'nei Rav Huna bar Avin say, we already paid. We already had our deal. What'd you pay? We gave the nascha. And the nascha is just a mashkin. It's not the real money. Also, kam derabami amalhu priti ein kan nascha ein kan. Sorry, fellas. Collateral is very nice and very good, but since you made up to give priti, until you give the priti, it was not a closed transaction. Now you have to pay the higher price. Toner Rabban. Now we have another situation where the chus and kala, unfortunately, don't see eye to eye. Hiskatchuli bimana. He said to the kala, here, I'm giving you a mana. She took the mana, not losay vizarkosay liyam. She promptly threw it in the river. Can you imagine the chusin kala? They're standing next to the Hudson River. He's proposing, oh, I accept your proposal. Yes, I'll marry you. Let's marry right now. And they have the photographer over there, and they have two edim over there, and he hands over the mana in front of Hudson River. Beautiful, and you can see the background in New Jersey, and it's a sunny day. Gevaldik. She gets the mana. That lost with her costly young. She promptly takes it and throws it into the river. Oy. Or there were fires, right? Every time you go to a chuppah, the mechutanim come down with candles with fires. She went and took the mana and she put it into the fire. Or you hold them over, or any other type of thing. She threw it into, there was a pothole right in front of them. She threw it into the pothole. What's the din? Ein mekudeshes. Obviously, why would you say ein mekudeshes? Because she's refusing. You can't be mekadesh the isha bal karcha. So apparently the reason why she's throwing the money away is she's saying, mister, I'm not interested. Take your money and throw it. Ein mekudeshes. So now, that's very understandable, but the Gemara makes a diuk. It's only because she destroyed the mana. Harshu de sinna kamei. What happens if instead of throwing it into the yam or to the or, she just took the money and she threw it back at him? He gave her a ring and she took the ring and said, it's your ring. And she threw it at him. Would you say have a kedusha? Would you say then it would be kedusha? Obviously not. So why does the Mishnah have to give, or the Brice have to give these dramatic details that she threw it into the yam or threw it into the fire? She just simply said she threw it back. She says, take it, I don't need it. So why would it be kedusha in a case of just shadasinu kamei? Everyone, no. The Mishnah, the Brice is telling you a chiddush. When she threw it down on the ground, she threw him back the mana or the ring. It's not kedusha because she says, I don't want it. I'm not interested. That's a dumb apostle. If she destroys the mana, guess what? He will have a legal claim against her to give him back the mana. She doesn't have the right to go and take the mana and throw it into the yam. She has to pay it back. So if that's the case, she knows that she is damaging him. She knows that she's going to have to pay back. So why did she throw it into the yam? Really, kedusha kodesh nafsha. She's really accepting the marriage. She's accepting the mana. Why did she throw it into the yam or into the fire? I want to test him out. I want to see whether he's a Baal Pa'as or not. What is he going to do when I throw that ring into the yam? Is he going to say, okay, these things happen? Or is he going to go and say, what? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? He's going to scream at the top of his lungs and he's going to be furious. So therefore, I might have thought that the reason why she threw it into the yam, not because she's refusing the marriage proposal. She is accepting. That's why she didn't just throw it on the ground. So why did she throw it into the yam? She knows that she's going to have to pay back for the $100. No, she doesn't want to pay back. I'm asking to the shidduch. I'm asking to get married. I just wanted to test out his midos tivus. On the resume, it said that not only is he a Talmud Chacham, but he has Midos Tavis. I want to see, is that true? Is he a Baal Kas? Not so, I might have thought. Kamash Malon. That's why the Brice is telling us, Eina Mekudeshes. Not only in the case when she threw it on the ground, but even when she threw it into the fire or into the yap. Turn it about. Shtein the Brice Azai. Hiskat Shalim B'mon. He gave her a mon and says, Hariat Mekudeshes Li B'monazu. What did she do? She responded, Tnom la'aba ulavich, or lavicha. Give this money to either my father or to your father. Eina mekudeshes. Al manas shekablamli. Give it to father, my father, your father, on the condition that they're mekabel this kesef on my behalf, then mekudeshes. Now what's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? The reisha, she said, give it to abba or avich, and the seifa, she said, give it to abba avich, on the condition that they're going to be mekabel on my behalf. What's the chiddush? What's the brayza telling us? Zoktibara, tona abba ledicha koyach dereisha. Tona avicha ledicha koyach deseifa. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, if you want to take a quick look at the Rashi. Ledicha koyach dereisha. Afal gav diavihu. She says to the chosin, give the money to my father. So I might think, oh, she loves her father, and her father maybe needs the funds. Or maybe she figures if he gives the money to the father will give it to me. Whatever, I might have thought mikudeshes. No. Avagav diavihu leigamra bekitcha nafsha. What she was saying is, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. Give the money to somebody else. In particular, give it to my father, your father. So I might have thought giving it to my father means yeah, I'm asking to the shidduch. The money will be in the family. No. Kamash malon ain't mikudeshes. Now, Tana Vicha in the Seifa, Vicha Kaich in the Seifa. Sorry? Nachamu, I'm sorry?
The
like we had yesterday, how can you give, you give it to, we have the case of Arev and the case of a Kanani, where she doesn't get it, but the
exactly right. Exactly right. So you're asking why doesn't it work over here? In that that same sense? The Mefarshim asked that kasha. Look at the toises, three toises from the bottom. Sanam Labalavicha Vim Toimam Rinli El Ten Manalaploy Nivakadashri Loch Mekudashes. The kasha of Brother Shai is toises is kasha. Shkoyach. Rishloim Medaloy Dami. The Osman Shitchila Ischila Hiba Dover Ikalamela Daitlis Kadish. There she was the initial proponent of this give the money to the third party. She went over to the chosin and said, Ten Manab Laploini, do me a favor, give money to somebody else. That works, because that was her proposal. Here, I want the Mekadeshu, here's the ring, here's the money. Don't give it to me. Give it to somebody else. Give it to my father, your father, give it to the roof, give it to the president, give it to anybody, but not for me. Oh, so this is a rejection instead of her proposal. Is it good to tell it's Brother Shai? And we continue on. So now, what is the Sefer? Says the Gemara, the Chiddush of the Sefer is when it says La'aba u'lavicha, it is mikudeshes amanashi kablami. Even though she's saying, I know I'm not getting the money. Your father's getting the money. I'm saying tanom lavicha, but he should be mekablet on my behalf, mikudeshes. Even though that father is going to be her father-in-law, not related to her at the moment, even for a moment. And we know that fathers-in-law and daughters-in-law, as well as mothers-in-law, don't always see eye to eye. Nevertheless, if she said, give it to your father, al-menashi kablam li, that he's being mekabel on my behalf, mikudeshes, it works. Now that's the ratio. Now there's a sefer, which is virtually the same, but instead of talking about abba v'avicha, now we talk about hiskad shalim mana, I'm giving you a mana, and instead of saying tanam la'abba l'avicha, you say tanam l'poini, give it to your uncle. So you see, it's exactly the same, except Abba Vavicha, it says, plain. What do we need both cases? A trich. Yeah, be an Abba Vavicha, Hosam, Hu Dechi, Omra, Amenashi, Kablam, Liyavi, Kedushin, the Samcha Daita, Elayu. She relies on them. If they, the Abba Ravich, say, yes, 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 we're going to take this money on behalf of the Kala, she say, Mechdas, Sovra, Avdali, Shechusai. They're going to fulfill their shlichus and take the money on my behalf. If she says, give it to Yankel, who knows what Yankel is going to do? Even though I'm saying, give it to Yankel, he should be mekabel the money on my behalf, Yankel could say, you know, go fly a kite. I got other things to do. I'm not interested in being your shlichus. I would think maybe not. If we would only say pliny, hachuhudachi amret tanom lepliny lihavikidushi. Tolei mekarva data legabei. She says, I don't want the money. Give it to Yanko, give it to Bell, just get out of here. I'm not interested in your money. That's why it doesn't work. Why would she want to give that Yanko a matana? And therefore, what she's saying is, I'm rejecting you. Maybe in the Reisha, when he says, and then she responds, Tanam lavi abba vavicha. Maybe what she meant to say is, I love my father so dearly, and I want to endear myself to my new shver, therefore I want to give them a matana. Not that she's rejecting the Kesef Kedushin. She's accepting it, but she says, don't put it in my pocket, give it to them. I love them so much, give them the money. So it would be similar to Brother Shai, the Gemara of yesterday. She's saying, give it to the other person, and she'll be Mekudesha to that, either Mitam Orev, Eve Kanani, etc. Tricha, that's why you have to have both cases. Then both cases, when you say Tanam la'abu l'avicha or l'poini, it means I'm rejecting you. And when she says manashi kablamli, then it's mikudeshes in both cases. Tanaban iskatchli m'mana. And then she said Tanam al gabi sala. Don't put the money in my pocket in my hand. You know, put the money here on the large boulder in front of us. Ain't mikudeshes, because that's rejection. However, the seller taka belonged to her, the mekudeshes, because it becomes like besa or chatzera, which of course are kaina. Boy, Rav Bibi, what about seller shel shnei emal? What if the boulder belonged to both of them, and he puts it down? Do I say now it's a good kedushin? She said, put it on the rock, you know, the rock belongs to both of us, and he puts it down. Do we say that she wants to accept the Kiddushin and she just says, you know, I have no pockets, dresses don't have pockets, only men's pants have pockets, I have nowhere to put it, so put it down in the cellar? Or did she mean to say, I'm rejecting it, you keep it? I don't know, Mao, take, Tishvi Yitarz. A similar case, it's got to leave a kikar. Here I have a delicious, new, fresh loaf of bread I just bought in the bakery, or I just baked it myself. It's worth a shel pruta, it's kishmak. You can see it still smells, it's the aroma and the steam is still coming up. It's got to leave a kikar. And what did she do? She said, Tanei Olekev, give it to the dogs. Enim Kadeshes. Obviously she's rejecting it, don't give it to me, give it to the dog. However, the dog was her dog, the Mekudashes, because then she's getting Hanar. She's not going to have to feed the dog now with Hart's Mountain dog food. She has now this kikar, so Mekudashes. Boira Mary, what about Kelev Turov Acharei Amal? There's a Kelev that's running after her, and Rashi says, Lenoishcha, not to go and pat her or to kiss her, but to go and give a bite into her leg or something like that. And she says, give the kikar to the dog. Would you say that she has a tremendous amount of hanor? Hanor is going to be that the dog is going to eat up the kikar and not bite her, and therefore she's makadish. I said that she said to him, throw the kikar to the dog, and that he threw the kikar to the dog, is not that he's being mekayim her request, her shlichus. He's doing it because the Torah has a requirement. If you see somebody else at Chas HaSholem is in danger, somebody chulil is drowning, or in this case, she's going to get this terrible bite. For all I know, she's going to have 55 stitches, and maybe she's going to lose part of her foot, and she might even have to be amputated. All of that. So you're mechuyim in a Torah to go and save me. The fact that you gave the kikar to the dog, you're not fulfilling my will. You did it because it's a mitzvah of the Torah to go and save a person's life or to save a person from damage. And therefore, I'm not mikudeshes. So if you want to take sataka guta shayla tijbi atarit. Now the Gemara asks an almost identical question. It's got to leave a kikar here. I give you the kikar. And she said, Taneo la'oni, give it to a poor person. Ain't a mikudeshes. No, don't give it to me. There must be poor people outside. Give them the kikar. Even if it's an oni that comes to her regularly for meals, in other words, an oni that depends on her. Oh, so I might have thought that this is similar to the case of her dog. This is lahavdil, her oni. What's the shaila over here? My time, amalei, did she say to him, oh, give me the money, or give the kikar to the ani, because it's samachala, I'm going to save money, I don't have to go and buy my own kikar, or bake a kikar, because you're going to give it. The bride says, no, ain't a mekudesh, the filoni samachala. Why? Why is it different than the dog that you send mekudesh? If it's her dog is mekudesh, it's her ani, it should be mekudesh. My time, Amrale, she says to him, why am I supporting this ani? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't drop this ani in my lap. I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, and that's why I'm doing it. So you have the same mitzvah. And the you also are mechuyev to go and give a kikar or money to this ani. I don't have a monopoly on giving tzedakah. You also have to go and give tzedakah. And therefore that she said, give it to the ani. She didn't mean to say, I'm an asr, I should be kuddish to you. She meant to say, yes, be about tzedakah, go and give it to this ani, even though it's samach Allah. Makes no difference. You have the same requirement to go and support him just like me, and therefore, Eina Mikudeshes. And tomorrow, Mitzvah, we're going to see further stories and further cases, and we're going to analyze each one. Thank you all for listening.